Welcome back to the programme Word on the Hills and our interview with Shane Joseph. Shane, though you've written several novels, you've also won a number of prizes for your short stories. And, of course, Paradise Revisited is your new short story collection. So tell us, which of your short stories are you most proud of and why?
Well, actually, that story is in this collection, but it has a long journey. In fact, it's called Number One. It's my number one story. I wrote this story back in 1978. I guess I'm giving away my age here. And I sent it to the national radio station back in Sri Lanka. They accepted to read the story, and I was selected as the narrator. And then a few days before the story was scheduled to go on the air, I was called and said that the story had been cancelled. And I asked why, and they said, well, it was cancelled because it was not good for tourism. Well, it was because, yes, the story was an expose on youth prostitution in the tourist industry that was going on in the country at the time. It's probably still going on. And I felt as a writer it was my duty to expose that. So I was, of course, quite deflated. You know, I was 24 at the time, I think. And my ego was crushed. I put away my story and I emigrated. And I completely forgot about it. 30-some-odd years later, I'm in Coburg, and I was going through a box of old belongings, and I found this handwritten foolscap paper with the ink bled, and that was my story. So I picked it up, and I said, it's still pretty good. It's still topical, you know. I'm going to clean it up a little bit. You know, my English had improved, I think, in 30 years. And so I sent it off to an anthology in the UK, and they were very pleased to publish it. And somebody at CBC Radio got a hold of this story and called me. And I know I was interviewed on Ontario Morning a couple of years ago about this story. And I was really happy to get up at 6 o'clock in the freezing cold and go and talk to them about my story. And so, I've put it into this book because I think it has a place. And I'm very proud of the fact that it's finally found a home. And it ranks as my longest running story that was awaiting publication.
Well, certainly, probably your most adventurous story in more ways than one, eh? Yeah. A fairly recent venture is your establishment with your wife, Sarah Jacob, of Blue Denim Press. Why did you launch out into publishing? And how are things going for Blue Denim in the present difficult climate for most publishers?
Oh, that's a loaded question, eh? Okay, well, I'll try to answer it. I'll tell you. It started out of sheer desperation because, you know, I had written The Ulysses Man, and I was sending it out to publishers all over the world and agents. And I was getting no bites, purely because the two settings, Sri Lanka and Canada, are not commercial settings. And I was actually advised by somebody to change the setting from Canada and Sri Lanka to the United States and India. And then there might be a possibility of a publishing offer. And I said, no, this is my story. It was set in these two countries because I know these two countries. And I'm not changing it. So out went the book deal. And there was I looking up in space and saying, what should I do? So we looked at the technology that was available. I mean, the technology was evolving. Everyone was publishing. The big guys were merging at the top. The middle was dropping off. And the small publishers were starting to emerge. So I spoke to my wife, Sarah, and said, look, why can't we do this ourselves? You know, why don't we not only do it ourselves, but also enable other authors who are deserving and who need their voices out there and who probably don't have the technical means to do it? Why don't we make that happen? And I have to say this up front so that listeners will understand. We are not a vanity press. We do not charge our authors for marketing services or for editorial services, even though we provide all that. But that's what we provide at our cost. And so we're a trade publisher. We take the risk on the books that we publish. We pay our authors a royalty. So that's the model we've adopted. And so as you asked, how are things going? Well, things are going well. We have decided that we...
Interesting list this fall.
Yeah, we have 3 books coming out this fall. We did 2 a year for the last 2 years and 3 this year. And I think that's probably about as much as we probably will do because you want to spend the time to, you know, promote the book and to support the author and make sure that the book sells. And keep our costs low because, you know, the reality is that the number of books are not decreasing. Books are never perishing these days because with print-on-demand and electronic publishing, books are always in print. Mm-hmm. So every year a million books lands up on the libraries of Congress or whatever, and they're never going out. And so each author has to live with a diminishing share of readers. And that's the climate. So we operating in this climate, you have to sort of keep your costs low and not overreach yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do.
So what are your plans for the immediate future?
Well, I'd like to carve out some time to do my own writing. I have, you know, 4 manuscripts that are ready to go. They probably need some editing. I'm trying to find time to come up, explore new subjects that have, you know, interested me. But time is always a challenge when you do a day job, have a publishing company, and then want to be a writer. But at the same time, they say, you know, if you want to get something done, give it to somebody who's busy, right? And so I'm trying to remain busy so that I can continue to churn out stuff. And so that's the game plan. Continue to publish books under Blue Denim. Continue to write. And hopefully there'll be more books to talk about in the future.
Well, would you like to read us another short piece?
Oh, why don't I tell you about how Bada's bull reversed course? That may be the culmination of this. Okay, now, leading on from that situation. After an initial scolding for doing such risky things and upsetting the neighbors, Mum settled down to accepting Sena once again. Missy, don't worry. I even taking Lokunona for a walk down the lane soon. We are free of those bullies. Grandma's ears picked up at the mention of a walk down the lane. She had been imprisoned in her wheelchair in the confines of our garden for over a year now. A walk down the lane was like a ticket to Hollywood. Grandma began making plans. She unearthed her best hat from amidst mothballs and tissue paper. She selected one of the least ruined blankets that Mum had made her, and she kept counting the money in her purse. When I asked her why, she replied, "I'm going to ask Sena to take me to the shops at the junction." Mum was not happy and warned Sena not to dare follow the old lady's orders. "But good for her, no, Missy?" he argued. "Freedom, no? But if you give her freedom, you can also have yours and leave this place. Lokunona is my responsibility." Mum stormed away into her room. Grandma gave Sena a pleading look. I was at school that day when the fracas took place. But I pieced events together from various sources, mainly the neighbors. At about 3:30 p.m., around the time Mum took her afternoon nap, an elderly woman draped in a navy blue blanket and wearing a plumed hat was seen exiting the gates of the Bernard residence, pushed by a nervous Sena. The old lady was excited and had her hand raised as if ordering the young man to push her faster. At that propitious moment, Bada's bull rounded the corner and, as if stepping out on an unextinguished cigarette butt, began a relentless charge towards the couple. The young man was seen to let go of the wheelchair and rush headlong at the bull, shouting, "You bloody bull, I'll you." The old lady was supposed to have used even more colorful language. Sena swerved just as the bull was about to gore him and, gripping one of its horns, swung himself onto the back of the creature. By pulling its neck to the right, he steered the bull away from the helpless old lady. However, the wheelchair had started to gather momentum as it headed unaided down the lane, and when onlookers pulled their gaze away from the charging bull and its fearless rider, it was to the scream of Grandma, who was being deposited into the same culvert that Bada had ended up a few weeks earlier. Sena jumped off the bull, smacked its rump to send it scampering off into the farm, and ran back to help Grandma. A hoarse, earth-shattering, bellyful laugh was heard from the direction of the paddy field, and the neighbors were sure it sounded like Bada, although the short, fat man was nowhere to be seen. By the time I got home, the worst was over. An ambulance had taken Grandma to hospital. Dad had rushed home from work. Mum was in hysterics, and Sena had vanished.
Thank you, Shane. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope you'll join us every week at this time to meet other writers in the region. Our guests in coming weeks write everything from mysteries and thrillers to children's books, from biographies to travel, from poetry to plays, and so much more. if you're listening and you are an author and would like to be interviewed or know someone who would like to participate in the programme, please write to us at thewordonthehills@gmail.com. And if you would like to read a sampling of some of the authors who will be interviewed on this programme in the coming weeks, buy or borrow a copy from the Library of Our 2012 anthology, Hill Spirits. It's available at Avid Reader in Coburg and Lighthouse Books in Brighton. And where can people buy Paradise Revisited, Shane?
You can go into your bookstore and ask for the book, or you can order it from any of the online stores like Amazon. You can also get ebook versions of it from Amazon Kindle, from Kobo. It's available in all ebook formats.
Thank you. To find out more about Spirit of the Hills, Northumberland Hills Arts Association, please investigate our website, www.spiritofthehills.org. Thanks again for joining us, Gwyn Sheltimer and Felicity Sidney-Reed, today on Word on the Hills. We hope you'll join us for our next programme,